Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for this day. Thank you, dear Lord, for all your many blessings. We ask that you give everyone traveling mercy as they return home today. In your name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Chief, would you mind reading us the Pledge of
Allegiance? Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
To approve the agenda, do you all review the agenda?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We need to have a discussion. And I'm sorry, we just met. Would you tell us who you are?
Sure. Good afternoon. My name's Jared Wright. I'm with McGill Associates. We are the engineer working on behalf of the town of North Wilkesboro on the, we'll say, long-standing Yadkin River raw water intake and raw water line projects that we have finally advertised and received bids on. And before I go further, I just want to say thank you for your time this afternoon. I understand this is a special call meeting, and I want to be respectful of that. We all have things going on. Also, thank you to Manager Holland and Director Poore for asking me to come and provide a little more information on this project. And I will say, for many folks in the room, as you know, this is a project that spans over a decade in some form or fashion.
Or more,
there you go. It certainly predates my involvement with it, let's put it that way. So I wanted to offer, because we do have some new faces in the room, a more of a holistic look at the project and how we got to the point we're at now. And then we'll talk about project funding. Obviously, you know, that's the elephant in the room. It's very expensive. It's very complex. It's complex on a variety of fronts, and I say that because, as you know, a portion of the project, construction of the intake, is a joint project between neighboring municipalities, North Wilkesboro and Wilkesboro. But in addition to that, we have multiple funding sources, so that's worth spending some time talking about too, and then next steps. But I want to give you a holistic view of the project, where we're at, and then talk about how to move forward. If you have questions along the way, feel free to stop me, but we'll certainly have plenty of time at the end as well. Okay, so again, I want to give you just a brief glimpse, a whole project description. Typically, I don't read slides word for word. I try not to bore you to death, and I'm not going to do that here. But I will say, you know, as discussed, this is the Yadkin River raw water line, or raw water intake project and raw water line project. The gist of the project is we're doing a new raw water intake on the Yadkin River, constructed jointly with the town of Wilkesboro. That consists of a building, three intake screens that are placed in the river, and then a series of pumps that will withdraw water out of the Yadkin River and either pump it to Wilkesboro or pump it all the way to North Wilkesboro. So that's where our Contract B comes into North Wilkesboro's project. And we say Contract B because we wanted to separate out construction of the intake from construction of about 15,000 linear feet of 20-inch raw water line. We wanted to separate those out because a lot of our contractors that specialize in heavy mechanical construction, like building intakes and pouring, you know, cast-in-place concrete, don't necessarily do pipe work. So we wanted to target specific contractors, hopefully to achieve better bids. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, we advertised it as a Contract A, intake, Contract B, raw water line. Now, again, complex, multiple funding sources. You will hear me as I talk today. I'll talk about the WIF project, WIF, as you'll see at the bottom of my slide here, and then the SRP project. So to simplify that as much as I can, going back to 2019, where Town of North Wilkesboro was talking about improving water quality through, you know, either a new or securing water supply through a new intake on the Yadkin River, they received a funding offer through the Division of Water Infrastructure. That was through the SRF program, the State Revolving Fund. And that project number through DWI was WIF 1976. That was a loan of $6.7 million, as shown on the bottom of the slide. Flash forward to 2023, the town was also approved for a direct allocation of ARPA funding in the amount of $15 million, and that is grant funding. So we have the WIF project and the SRP project, totaling over $21 million of available funding. Okay, thought this would be necessary just to kind of give you an idea of where we're talking about. I'm sure you folks, you live in town here, you know exactly where the project's going to take place, but for our purposes, and I hope this laser pointer works, the intake, yeah, it's not working on the TV. Let me come over here. The intake will be constructed, we'll say just west of Highway 421 near 268 at the town of Wilkesboro's existing intake site. That's this lower black dot here. From there, the 15,000 feet of 20-inch raw water piping to deliver that gap in river water to the town of North Wilkesboro's water treatment plant will cross 421. Well, first we'll cross the Yadkin River from the intake side, then we'll cross 421, then we'll cross the Yadkin again, and we'll parallel these three agricultural fields. And we've referred to these throughout the project as the Brown property, the Mathis property, and the Pearson property. Obviously, the bulk of your raw water line goes through those three agricultural fields. And from there, we'll ultimately cross West D Street, and then have to do another river crossing across the Reddies, and then get close to the water treatment plant property. So the 15,000 feet route is the dashed line here. Okay, I mentioned a couple of slides ago our two projects, and this is worth noting. The WIF project, which is the 2019 funded loan, and then the SRP project. So those two projects, even though they're both aimed at securing the town of North Wilkesboro's water supply, they included some different features. And at the time of funding, they were both called Yadkin River Raw Water Intake. Even though the WIF didn't necessarily contain components associated with construction of a new intake. It was more plant work. And then of course, you know, in 2023 after, the town's receipt of ARPA funds, then you had the SRP grant of $15 million. So the two projects, we'll start with WIF. One of the primary components of that WIF project at the water plant included construction of a mechanical pretreatment unit called an Actiflow. And that's the name of it, it's proprietary design. That mechanical pretreatment really takes what you do in sedimentation basins, which is part of the plant. Sand basins typically take about 4 hours to treat water. The Actiflow can do it in a number of minutes, although there are some contingencies with that Actiflow unit. It relies on a sand and polymer mixture. It's expensive to run. There's a lot of waste water that's associated with that Actiflow unit, but it was included in the WIF, along with a host of electrical upgrades at the plant. Replacement of essentially all the motor control centers there at the plant, inside, outside. A much needed upgrade, because it's my understanding those haven't been replaced in decades, if ever. So that's our WIF project, Actiflow and electrical equipment at the plant. And then we roll into the SRP project, or the ARPA project, which is your $15 million grant to construct the intake. And here's an excerpt from a plan, one of our plan sheets. This is plan view, so it just looks like lines on a page. This is a new intake building with three screens that extend out into the middle of the Yadkin River. Now this all occurs on Wilkesboro's property that you're building this structure with the town of Wilkesboro. But from there, our water line takes off north. And obviously I can't fit all that on this screen, but I did want to show you an excerpt of the intake project. So again, WIF project, Actiflow unit, electrical upgrades, SRP/ARPA project, intake, raw water line. That's worth noting as we move forward and discuss how we got to where we are now. All right, so like I mentioned when we first started, we have, after over 3 years in development and a few setbacks along the way and then extending the project due to environmental reviews, et cetera, we finally received bids November 20th. And that was an extended advertisement period. We had a lot of interest in the project when we advertised it for bids. I remember sitting in this room and having 13 contractors here at our pre-bid meeting. And we thought, great, 13, I know we'll receive three bids and we can open the first time around. Well, obviously that didn't happen because when we attempted to open in late October, nobody bid the intake project and one person bid the raw water line project. So we re-advertised and that generated some more interest. We extended that period for another three and a half weeks and finally received bids, received three for intake and three for raw water line. That doesn't mean they were great bids. There was quite a spread on our contract A or intake bids. And then, you know, the raw water line just came in high. Let's face it, you know, 15,000 feet of 20-inch raw water line with three river bores and a 421 bore and a pedestrian bridge to hang a water line on, all that just adds up. So we knew at that time that we were going to have to get creative with our funding and then go back to DWI and have a real intense conversation about how we can build this project, because it has been on the books for a long time and it's much needed. So just to summarize where we were, the engineering, design, permitting, and funding admin fee was $910,000. North Wilkesboro's portion of the contract A bid, which is for the intake structure, $7,439,950. Contract B, which is the raw water line, $10,326,017. Construction phase services, which is all of the contract administration, the on-site observation over the almost 2 year contract time, that's $1,183,645. So that's a chunk there. But again, it's 2 years worth of construction time with providing contract administration, monitoring RFIs, change orders, etc. for the two projects that will be happening. Granting and fund administration or funding admin is $60,000, and that's for us to assist the town with the reimbursement requests that filter through DWI. And then there are a host of other funding requirements that are associated with the contract, like compliance with Davis-Bacon, American Iron and Steel Act, all of that. And then, of course, we have a project contingency of $253,000. All that adds up to just north of $20 million. So, again, I can't say that enough. This is an expensive, complex project. But at that time, we knew it was over budget. So, we arranged a virtual meeting with Division of Water Infrastructure. We reached out to several of their higher-ups, Manager Holland, Director Poore, myself, Doug Chapman, one of our regional managers and vice president, Hickory office. We all participated in a call with DWI. And I have to say, I think I can speak for the group that we were very satisfied with the outcome of that conversation. We initially asked for more money, said, hey, can you give us more grant money? And of course the answer was no, there's no more ARPA grant money to give. So said, okay, you know, how about with money, additional loan money, allowing us to combine these two projects to achieve the intake project, because that's the priority. They were very receptive to that approach. However, you can't build everything in both projects with the amount of funding we have. So in conversation with town staff here and understanding what the town of North Wilkesboro really needs is the intake, and not so much of the Actiflow unit that we talked about at the plant. Something has to go. So we entertained or started into negotiations with our contractor on how can we trim this number, all the while we're talking to DWI about what do we have to build to secure these two funding sources to make the intake project happen. You know, what do we have to cut out of this project? Will you give us any more money? No. All right, Mr. Contractor, what can you do to help this number? So through all of those negotiations that have happened over the last few weeks, this is what we've arrived at. So on the intake and raw water line, which will, you know, our SRP project, our original bid project, we changed the river crossings from a jack and bore to a horizontal directional drill. And that's three river crossings. We built in a deductive alternate into the bid. I'll just be frank with you, if you look at the bidding documents, each river bore was $1.3 million. Each river crossing by horizontal directional drill is $800,000, so you're saving $1.5 off the top there. So that's huge. Now, does that mean it's cut and dry? Absolutely not, because one, we have to get DWI approval. We have to go through, you know, a process to make that happen. But sure, we built that into the bidding documents, and we're definitely going to take the contractor up on that. So I met with them on site, me and Mr. Poore, here several weeks ago. And from that conversation, he asked, what about the 421 jacking bore? That's also a large dollar amount. How about us directionally drilling that? It's DOT controlled access. Permission will have to come out of Raleigh, but we're interested in pursuing that as well, and we have definitely included that in our negotiations. So there's another savings. So if you look from, and I've had to go back to the project map, from 421 board to river crossing number two, there would be a section of about 500 feet. That would be very deep for the contractor to install should he open cut, excavate, and place the pipe there. He said, how about just letting me directionally drill from 421 all the way under the river and come up in the agricultural field? Absolutely, there's another saving, so we're pursuing that as well. So he's been really good to work with. Matter of fact, we've been coordinating here this week about him coming on site even prior to receiving an executed contract and performing some test digs, you know, within the existing easement just to make sure that we're on the same page and not going to encounter any surprises. And again, I can't speak loudly enough praising him so far for his involvement. Contractors ELJ Incorporated out of Jacksonville, North Carolina. Long working history with McGill Associates in other offices. Not necessarily Hickory office, but other offices. Okay, so that's what we've done on the intake and raw water line project to try to bring that total project cost down. On our WIF project for the water treatment plant improvements, after talking with town staff, talking with DWI, we have removed construction of the Actiflow, which is a very complex, very expensive piece of equipment that may not be needed or wanted for a variety of reasons. We also took approximately 740 feet of water line that was to go from where we stopped our 15,000 feet. Now we're tying in there and running on up to the plant. So you'll have all new raw water line from new intake to existing intake, another 740 feet up to the plant. So all of your raw water line will essentially be new 20-inch double iron. So we pulled that out, moved it around. We want to keep the electrical upgrades in a water treatment plant improvements project. And that design, we're going to say it's 99% done. It's ready to hit the street for bids, although that number should be very reasonable because the active flow is no longer included in that scope. So, in summary, we've worked with our contractors to bring their bid numbers down through negotiation, and that, of course, that has to be formal. And we've also combined these funding sources per DWI's approval to really get what you need, but not spend any money on what you don't need or don't want. Satisfied with where we've come from. All right. So here is the new budget after these negotiations. So we'll go back. Budget $20,173,000 and some change prior to negotiation. So going to negotiated budget. Your total funding is $21,735,310. That's both funding sources combined. Engineering hasn't changed. Contract A, we haven't received our fully negotiated number yet from Contract A contractor, so I expect this number, the 7, to come down, but I just can't include that yet because I don't know how much it's going to come down. Contract B bid went from 10 million and some change down to 9.4, but bear in mind that also includes an additional 740 feet of water piping there. Construction phase services remains the same. Funding admin remains the same. Contingency remains the same. That takes you to 19.3, which leaves over 2.4 left to do whatever you need to do at the water treatment plant. And I'm saying this with my fingers crossed. I really don't foresee electrical upgrades costing anywhere near that. So, again, I'm saying that with my fingers crossed because bids are, the construction market's volatile. Let's just call it what it is. That you have $2.5 million left after we combine the funding sources, after everything we've talked about to pay for.
Are those electrical upgrades necessary for the private water project intake and the pipeline?
I don't know if they're necessary for those, but they could have been done outside of the intake construction, and they're much needed.
Up there, Randy. I'm sorry. I mean, the electrical service up there is so antiquated. I think they use screw in fuses. I'm joking.
Well, that's not my. I'm not saying they're not necessary. I'm just saying they'll be necessary for the intake of the water pipe to go forward. That's all I'm asking. I've heard that it's antiquated, so I understand.
To succinctly answer your question, not for the intake, but definitely necessary otherwise.
Okay. Just put it that way. We're not going to be forced into rushing. We can get good bids and move forward in the correct way.
Sure. You can really target electrical contractors with this next project because, I mean, it's solely electrical work. We have removed everything related to heavy mechanical or utilities out of that project. So it's my understanding you have a number of specialty electric contractors relatively local here. So funding terms, again, our SRP / ARPA dollars, those are grant dollars. Very few strings attached as long as we comply with certain requirements during the construction contract. For our WIF dollars, that SRF program is a state revolving fund loan. Original loan was 6.735310, $6,735,310. Now, those terms, which are very interesting, off the top, they're offering 25% principal forgiveness. So we're going to treat 25% of that total like a grant. You don't have to pay anything back. And that amounts to $1,683,827. The remainder of that, which I should have, you know, that total up, but I don't, I just omitted it from my slide. The remainder is a zero interest loan. I don't want to say it's free money, but that's about as good as you can get in terms of loan terms. I wish I could get a mortgage for 0% interest. That is a 20-year payback. DWI, and this is standard across all funding platforms through DWI, they require a 2% loan closing fee. And 2% of the total amount, which is the way they structure it, is $134,000. And that's due before you start making payments back. You'll when you're getting ready to close out the construction paperwork, that loan closing fee will be due. In your debt service, and again, I rounded dollars here because, again, we don't know exactly where contract A is going to come in through negotiations. Hopefully that number comes down. This is assuming that you use the entire remainder for electrical upgrades, and you're probably not going to, fingers crossed. So if you use all of your money that you currently have, debt service for the 20-year payoff will be $21,000 and some change a month. And again, I've rounded dollars there, but we had an earlier conversation about, you know, how's that impact ratepayers. We just need to do that calculation. And that's easy to do because we're not worrying about interest accruals. But we can see how $21,000 a month would impact your rates. And finally, that brings us to next steps. So obviously we need to finalize the negotiated bid process that I mentioned earlier. That is a formal process. We have drafted a memorandum of negotiation that's ready to be sent back to the contractor. So we'll do that for contract B, the raw water line. We'll also do it for contract A once we receive those final numbers. Get those signed off on by all parties. That has to be presented to the Division of Water Infrastructure, which I'll talk about in just a moment. The big thing for the town, should we decide to move forward with the terms we've presented today, anything over $1 million, town has to seek local government commission approval for the loan. And in this case, your loan's over $1 million, so LGC approval would be required. The town of Wilkesboro had to do the same thing. A large portion of their funding for their side of the project, that's loan funds as well. So they are very familiar with the process. They have secured a spot on the OGC's agenda for March. And they would be an excellent resource. McGill Associates, us being private consulting engineer, we don't have a lot of experience with what you need to submit to LGC. That's more of a finance director, and whoever does your audits can probably, you know, come up with that. I don't think it's a tumultuous process or anything. I just think you have to come up with some paperwork, your bidding documents, your most recent audit, et cetera. So submit to LGC, get on their agenda for approval. Once it's approved, or during that process, while we're waiting for LGC approval, hopefully we can tentatively award, which will require council action, but we can tentatively award the contracts. And really what that does is lock in those bid numbers and allows us to package everything up and send it to Division of Water Infrastructure for final approval. So DWI will wait until we have the LGC approval and until they've vetted all the bidding documents like we will do, and then they'll give us authority to award the contract. And that ATA is what we're all after. Once we have that authority to award, you can formally award the contract and we can start, you know, meeting with the contractor and getting construction dates and establishing a notice to proceed. So a lot of moving parts here in the next few months.
There's a time frame on spending the, we have a drop dead on some of them.
Yes. The large part of those dollars, the $15 million, has a December 31st, 2026 deadline for expenditures.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up because I have the offer and acceptance letter from the town to that, because it's clearly stated in that document that no reimbursement after December 31st, 2026.
Correct.
Can we front load that money so that we can spend that new?
We're going to spend that $15 million first, and that's going to require heavy expense on behalf of North Wilkesboro, heavy expense on behalf of Wilkesboro, where there should be a reimbursement process in place between the two towns. So we're spending $15 million. Even though it's your $15 million, that needs to be expense first.
You don't see a problem in doing it?
No, sir. No, we've had that conversation with a number of folks from the funding agency, and then both towns, and you know, the interlocal agreement that's in place also specifies some of those reimbursement terms. So everybody's on board with doing that.
Okay, the other question I have is I have a recollection of this town trying to combine these projects once before into one gigantic project, and the SRF kind of put the kibosh on that, saying, you know, but now I'm hearing that, you know, you're, I mean, how certain, because we really need something that says we can combine those loans, because, you know, it's been my experience that when you're working with state funding, that if they're funding this pad of paper today, you can't just go, oh, no, wait a minute, I want to fund this phone tomorrow. So, I mean, I know you said your negotiations with them went well, but how certain are you that we're going to be able to flip that loan, you know, because regardless of what that loan was projected, you are still basically talking about changing the function of that loan to a whole different scope of work. And so, I mean, where are we going to get those assurances? How quickly can we get those assurances? Because to me, this whole project rides kind of on being able to move that loan from this scope to that scope.
Correct. So oddly enough, both projects, the WIF project and the intake project, were called the Yadkin River Raw Water Intake, which is confusing enough because really the WIF project didn't have much, if anything, to do with the intake. So this came up during our meeting with DWI a couple weeks ago. The offer and acceptance documentation that was executed by Ms. Minton, previous manager, in 2023 included both project numbers. So the question was asked of the section chief with DWI, do we need to execute a new funding agreement? And the answer was no. I will get that in writing, but the answer was no. Existing funding agreement contains both project numbers. No new agreement is required. Okay. So I will get that in writing.
And if I might speak to Director Poor, would you explain to the board why we no longer need the AccuFlow system? Because at the time that we approved this project back in 2019, it was all of that. Now I'm hearing different reports about this particular piece of hardware. So just for the record, explain to us, with the mayor's permission, I can ask that question. Okay. Explain to us why the AccuFlow is no longer necessary for the towns, because not only did it decrease turbidity, but it also had the potential of increasing capacity. And so capacity is also something for growth in the future. So if you wouldn't mind speaking to that.
Sure, I'll be glad to. And I'm not an expert on the AccuFlow system, but I'll tell you what little I understand about it. The AccuFlow system is basically a system that levels turbidity. The Redis has turbidity spikes during storms, after storms. This AccuFlow system would kind of level out those high turbidity spikes. It would also require us, if we had an AccuFlow system in place right now, we would have to have two more full-time employees. And that AccuFlow system would also, it has waste that comes off of it, water, polymer, sand, whatever. And that waste that comes off of that AccuFlow system is in the order of 60,000 gallons a day. That's going to our wastewater plant.
Okay.
I don't see us needing the AccuFlow because recent times are a good indicator of future times. We have been able to operate well during the turbid cycles of the Redis. when Hurricane Helene came through, the water plant was still able to run full song, with the exception of had some debris getting in our intake, and we had to slow our intake down because of that. I just don't see this afterflow as being something that we need to sink the town into. We've operated fine without it before. That makes me think we can operate it fine in the future. I don't think the afterflow system would give us a significant increase, if any, in the amount of water we can produce. Our plant's at, 4.32 million gallon a day plant. So that's all we can run through that plant. I just don't think that we need to burden the town, for lack of a better term, with this active flow system. It's nice, it's fancy. When it was first visualized, it was new technology. It was the nicest thing coming down the pike. Some plants here in North Carolina have gotten involved with the active flow system, and to just speak off the cuff, they're not nuts about it. It functions, it's a very finicky system. It works better if it's up and running all the time. We wouldn't run it all the time. It's labor intensive, but most of all, I think in our situation, it would be water intensive, because I mean, it's just gonna throw a bunch of water at the sewer plant.
And what would you have to do with the waste that was produced by it?
It has to go to the sewer plant to be treated down there.
That's
so you have this much capacity at the sewer plant now, and the active flow is going to take up some of that.
Okay.
And I believe what you explained to me, Director Ford, is that the turbidity of the Yadkin is on a more even keel with less fluctuations, peaks and lows, and the reds.
Yes, it is. But I think the active flow system would be detrimental to us. I think it would cost us more than really we would realize as far as worth or value out of the active flow system.
So if I can kind of wrap my head around this, the move that we're making by putting this new water intake and pipeline and replacing some of the aspects of that active flow, we're actually increasing volume of water coming to us available and reducing cost. Is that?
That's the way I see it.
It also reduces the volatility of the drought-prone rivers, which is what started all of this process. 15 years ago was because the Reddies is prone to drought plus the turbidity.
And I think that's where Jared was going earlier when he said the most important part is the raw water intake part. The active flow is kind of the trailer behind the station wagon, if you will.
Well, I mean, like I said, you know, I was just going back to, you know, 2019 when we first started, you know, the WIF loan and all of that. And, you know, and at that time, the need, but at that time we also didn't know about the future raw water intake that we are currently pursuing with the grant funding. So, I mean, at that time, like you said, the AccuFlow was sold as a solution. So that was the reason the other night. And I just needed to hear from McGill and from yourself why we needed to change. You know, because at that time it served a purpose. And now I get the feeling that it's not a system that really is what we need. Because ultimately, like I said, my whole thing is I want this intake built and that 15,000 feet of pipe plus 741 so that we have a new water supply and to do it in a timely manner so that we don't lose our grant, because the loan is there. I mean, that's a loan's a loan. And if they're going to switch the scope of the work, we've got the loan. But I do worry, because it is now January the 13th, and it's amazing at my age how quickly a year goes by to get this $15 million Because not only did we have to get LGC approval, but we have to have the OSMB, they have to encumber the funds, I assume, just like the fire station. And so, I mean, there's a process to all this. And, you know, every week that something's not, a shovel's not in the ground, puts us closer and closer to not meeting. Because I don't, you know, I mean, I know there's been rumors that they may, just because of the sheer scope of the ARPA funds across the country, there may be, you know, a chance for some extensions, but I wouldn't bank on that.
In the engineering community, none of us are banking on that. Sure, we can hope and have conversations and wish and explain to the folks that matter. There's no way you can spend these ARPA dollars in the state. But to date, we have not received an extension. Therefore, we are plowing full steam ahead to spend $15 million by 12/31/26.
And when I mentioned front-loading cost a moment ago, when you're negotiating with the state on the switching loan funds, you're also going to be talking to the contractors. And while you're not going to order things, you can pre-order or negotiate for the... You can put a lot of 20-inch pipe somewhere and it won't be carried away and stolen, I don't think. And
to that point,
yes.
Contractor asked this morning if he can begin sending submittals to us for review, because, you know, we go through a review process for all the materials going into the job. It's called shop drawing review process. He wants us to go ahead and start reviewing shop drawings for equipment and materials to be incorporated in the project. That's great. If it falls apart, then, you know, that's a lot of wasted time by him and us and everybody involved. But there again, you know, he's poised to get us information, get us material submittals, so we can review those, approve them, and he can start ordering material.
Yeah.
In essence, spending funds.
And Mr. Holland, I know, has been working on these negotiated bore
easements. Right.
And trying to get a head start on those things. So that's why we've been pushing forward as hard as possible. And I want to thank both the gentlemen from McGill, but especially Director Paul, because he's brought a saving grace, in my opinion, to us on this. Common sense pays off, Dave.
I'll just say, I really enjoy working with your team.
Thank
you. Councilor Brooks, the motion that was made at the meeting the other night, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of talking on this conversation, I apologize. The motion we made to give Manager Holland the authority to move forward with the existing project for the $15 million, you know, so that authorizes him to begin signing documents and everything that is needed to move this project forward, correct?
Yeah, that would.
Mm-hmm. All right, and just for a point of order, would we need to rescind Resolution 2420, which was the resolution for the water treatment upgrades, because that, I think that specifically mentions the AccuFlow system, or is it just generalized? Maybe just generalized. Yeah, I think it's generalized. So I don't know that we would have to rescind that.
Then no, I wouldn't think so. We did need to approve the agenda, did we? We didn't do that, did we?
Yes.
Okay. Did I miss that? Okay, I'm sorry.
Sure. It was motion by him and seconded by him.
Got it.
No, this.
Yes, sir. I'm
speaking of this
resolution.
Now
we still need to go forward with this.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but still.
Sorry.
I
feel so ashamed.
Is it good? I just wanted to thank Director Poore and Town Manager Holland for the work on this. You saved us money here. You not only like kind of saved this deal, but hiring two more full-time employees, I mean, is that going to be an extra $100,000 a year when you figure employees and budget? Thanks for doing that, and thanks for coming to us and looking out for the town and the taxpayers too. And appreciate it. Also, just want to say that I hope that future boards will always keep this ready's intake, not just for North Wilkesboro, but for Wilkes County, just because it gives us some redundancy. I don't know if there's anything in the future we can do to make it harder for them to get rid of it. If there are, I'll be interested in looking into that. When this water intake conversations were going on, 2 or 3 years ago, I had a Zoom call with, I think it was DEQ, and there's a lot of people, and one thing they told me is they were like, don't ever get rid of that intake, because if you do, you will never get it back. And I would also like to point out that that intake has a Class 2 watershed on it, so the water's maybe a little cleaner or something, but I just wanted to point that out, because I like to mention it every time I can, because I think it's really important we keep it.
Well, there seems to be a misconception that if we put this new project in place that we'll give up the Reddies. That's never been a consideration.
I'm more worried like 10 years from now that like a future board might not see the value in it just because they don't know or something.
Speaking to that, I directed a question to Director Poore about the capacity of the plant, and you might want to explain just a little bit about the additional cell and the potential that we could utilize this in a future project. I think that's what Commissioner Palmer is speaking to.
As far as could we withdraw more water from the Reddies, yes. I don't know the quantity, and I would hate to even guess, but there is a limit to what the state will allow us to withdraw off of the Reddies. We are not at that point now. If we
also
need to upgrade our intake pumps to where we could take more water out of the Reddies in the future, we could.
But you also mentioned an additional cell that we could bring online in the future.
Yes, there is. Our water plant is set up where there's an additional filtration cell that it's teed off and blank. So there is the possibility to, in the future, build another treatment cell and up our plant capacity that way. The plant's set up to be expanded.
That's the bottleneck, right? We can bring in more water from these two intakes than we can process.
That's the future.
Thanks to you guys at McGill and everybody for your help.
Oh, thanks for your confidence in us. This has been a great project. I mean, sure, it's dragged out much longer than any of us wanted to, and it's complex, like I mentioned to these guys earlier, but thank you for your confidence in us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a question? Okay. Mayor Harlan, so one of the questions that was also raised the other night, of course, was about the loan itself and the details of the loan and seeing the documents. But from the sounds of it, it seems to me all we are doing is taking the existing loan that we accepted as a board in 2019 and are just moving the scope of work. So therefore, the terms and all of that, we don't necessarily need to have those loan documents in front of us because technically the loan documents are only changing in scope, not in actuality as far as terms and, you know, because it's pretty cut and dry, 0%, 25% forgiveness, 20-year term.
That's correct.
That gives me a greater comfort level as far as moving forward with this project. The other thing, too, that I wanted to throw out to this board that we will have to consider at budget time is doing this project, which is for the greater good for the long haul, we are going to have to address the water rates come budget time because we are going to incur $21,000 worth of extra debt service that, you know, it'll have to be budgeted for. So I'm just saying that, you know, it's a big project. It's great for our future, but we also will have to man up and lady up and, address that rate deal in a couple of months.
Well, the reason we did that rate a few years ago was to kind of for the water tower and the active flow. Like, we already were working towards it. And $21,000 a month, again, we cut out probably over 100 by not having to hire 2 employees. That was the first I'd ever actually heard that. So that would have been a big surprise. So.
And I want to add that I've already spoken with McGill and staff, and we were already working on that utility budget to try to determine how this plays out and what we're looking at. And I would certainly agree that we're benefiting the growth of this county. You know, the population of this town is very similar to what it was 50 years ago. So it's not fair for us to bear all the burden of growth in the county. And so we'll have to look at that, and we'll need your help in doing that.
And to that point, I want to say something also. When we did all the research a few years ago on water intake, at least at the time, the information that Town Manager Hooper got me roughly said that North Wilkesboro services 1,800 meters in town and
3,200 out?
I think it was like, I was going to say 12,000. It was a lot of the meters are in the county. So when we talk about North Wilkesboro water, it benefits the whole county.
Yeah.
And I think it's always good to point that out.
So our next move is to ask for a motion. But before we do, I'd like, in light of what the commissioners have said, for us to think that this has been going on for probably 20 to 25 years in some capacity, but this is a historic event, and you're getting the chance to change the face of this community, both in town and out. So in light of that, do we have a motion to...
Well, I'm sorry. One quick question, because I see that finance director is here. Alicia, do you have anything to this as far as the money-wise that you want to add or you know, because you handle the purse strings, and so, I mean, do you have any qualms or considerations or encouragement or anything that you could add to this discussion?
No, I'd spoken about it earlier, and the only consideration that I would ask of the board when budget does come is to look at rates, look at water rates, because the water department, sewer department is self-sufficient, and so we would have to find the money to make this loan payment. So I would ask that we would consider looking at rates in the next upcoming months.
And it may be something that we have to do jointly in consideration of Wilkesboro, because they're going to be faced with the same thing, I think. And that's always been a complaint, that their rates are cheaper than ours. I don't know if we can do that or not.
May I offer one comment to that end? And this is certainly, I don't have, this is not my fight here, but I will say this. The construction contract time for the intake, which is the largest expense, is about 2 years, not quite 2 years. Incremental increases over the next coming couple of years could be easier for the ratepayers to swallow. So maybe that's a consideration. That's some conversations we have with our other long-term clients. Nobody wants to see a 25% increase, but 2.5 a year for a number of years, you get to the same goal, but it's not as much of an immediate impact. So
how does that work? How does that work if you're talking about a 2-year construction project with a funding source that has to be spent by December 31st of this calendar year? How does that work?
You front load all the money with Wilkesboro, and then Wilkesboro pays us back their part, like you said, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And we agreed to that in the interlocal agreement, because at that time Wilkesboro did not have their funding secured yet to the
correct
extent we did. So what will happen is they'll have to pay us within 30 days of receipt of the invoice to them.
Okay.
So yeah, we have agreed to that.
That part of my memory blanked out.
I have one more question for you.
Yes, sir.
So when this project gets rolling and the contractor's bidding it out to subcontractors, I mean, are these numbers going to stay, or is it going to balloon up? I mean, is there
no, that number's a fixed number. The intake project's lump sum, the raw water lines unit price, and they'll get paid for what they put in. But our numbers are always very liberal when we advertise bid. So if anything, I expect final install number to come down.
Is there anything in contract that keeps that being the case for us?
We go through a serious vetting process for any proposed change orders. So yeah, that would definitely require action on behalf of the manager, director Poor, perhaps the board, depending on the dollar amount. But our construction contract administration is that gatekeeper for that entire process. And we have 85 pages worth of general conditions that address that.
You have a conditional amount in there.
Yes, we do have some project contingency, yes.
But did I just hear you say that possibly they could come in lower?
Yes, sir.
On
contract B, it could, because it's a unit price.
But would that benefit the town, or?
It definitely benefits the town.
One more thing I would like to add about water rates in the interlocal agreement. Once the intake is up, we have agreed to work with Wilkesboro to establish those rates jointly. I think at least it says for bulk water rates. I just want to mention that. So I think that it says we're to work in good faith and to enter into an agreement by July of 2026. So I don't know if that'll have to be adjusted, but to share the finished water. So there's more coming with that.
Mr. Holland, we need to discuss that with them tomorrow or maybe.
Yes. So what does that mean right now?
So I think that we've worked jointly to set those rates for the bulk water. Looks like it says bulk finished water.
That we sell to the water.
Yeah, it would be to the water.
That's correct.
Yeah, but to the water associations.
Underpricing them on that to keep those customers.
But that was just one. I remembered we addressed rates in the interlocal agreement. So it was just on bulk water, but.
I have one last little thing in all this, but I'm just going to ask it. I know that there's been discussion at times about the Tucker Hole Creek situation. Has that discussion been determined, or is it to be determined, or?
It's to be determined, but it cannot be associated with our intake project, and that's from DWI. It came up in an earlier conversation a couple of months ago about pursuing an additional funding source that is administered through the Department of Commerce. Should that have happened, and that funding been associated with a larger project, it would have kicked us back to square one, having to go through the NEPA, National Environmental Policy Act, provisions for environmental reviews, which would have cost us another year. So at that time, a decision was made. Any future consideration of Tucker Creek Tucker Hole Creek will be outside of the intake construction project.
So there's nothing about that would delay us moving forward with this project immediately?
No, it can't to move forward and meet any kind of timeline. Now, does that mean Tucker Hole Creek's going away? Absolutely not, I don't think so, but it won't be associated in this conversation about this project.
Okay. They have to remain two separate issues.
Tucker Hole Creek's not being moved, right?
Mm-hmm. It's not being moved as part of this project.
Yeah.
That's as clearly as I can answer that question at this time.
Any other discussion? If not, do I have a motion to adopt resolution 2026-03?
So moved.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you so much. And your grandchildren, thank you. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
J-A-R-D.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.